Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by Patreon listeners like you. If you would like to join their ranks, go to patreon.com/rethebard. That's patreon.com/RITHEBARD. And follow Sherry on all the various social networks at RETHEBARD. That's RITHEBARD. And now, from the studios in San Diego, California, here's Sherry.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today, we welcome back author R.M. Alexander, who I know is Robin, and we're going to chat about writing and her new books and her all the stuff she does. She's also a mom and a wife, and she does homeschooling, and she's a busy little bee. Hi, Robin. Welcome to the
Hi, Sherry. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing good.
For people who haven't heard our broadcast before, you've been on the show several times, but just a little brief description about your background and how you came to writing.
Okay. Well, I've actually been writing, It's a common story among us authors. I've been writing since I was a kid. And when my oldest child, she's now 9, was born, all of a sudden all the stars aligned or something happened, and it seemed like the moment to take it seriously, take it from hobby to a career. And shortly after that, I published my first novel, Matter of Choice, and that has now been, 4 years ago now. Hard to believe.
That is a long time. It's 4 years. That's about the same time I published Murder, Inc. Yeah, it's really weird when you think about it, isn't it?
It really is. Goes by so fast.
Oh, no, not Murder, Inc. Fantasy Time, Inc. Murder, Inc. was before that. I get confused. Do you have any advice to the new writer? It's very weird, strange writing world now, sort of like the writing Olympics. how do you get over all the jumps and parries and all the stuff that you have to go through?
Writing is different from any other field you get into, because to be a scientist or to be a, I don't know, whatever it is you want to be, you can go to school and you can go through classes and they teach you about the job. And then you have on-job experience that you can build on top of what you learned in school. And I guess to a degree there's some of that with being an author, but a lot of it, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your personality, you have to learn on the fly. And it is constantly changing. The business of being an author is constantly morphing. It's not what it was 6 months ago, let alone 4 years ago. So the best advice I can give is to find somebody that you can partner up with. And it doesn't have to be a co-author as much as it is somebody who you can take the journey with together so you can help one another out. And then find somebody else who's already been in the journey for some time so that they can teach you what works and what doesn't. And then as you grow, to reach back and try to be that somebody for someone else, because it's quite a challenge. And it's a much smaller world than what probably people think it is.
True. That's true. And it's interesting because I interview people from all different countries and stuff like that, authors from everywhere, England, Australia, Tokyo, New Zealand, Argentina. I've interviewed people from everywhere, and we all have the same issue. We all have the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the book out there, differentiating it from all the other zillions of books out there, and praying that someone buys it.
Mm-hmm. Right, yep. And the marketing thing, as authors, we're creative types. And a lot of us are introverts as opposed to, you know, really being people.
people.
So the marketing part of it, the business side of it, it doesn't click with writers as much as it might click with somebody else, you know, because you have that creative side and you want to create because that's who we are. But then you have to take a step away from that, and you have to put on that business hat, and you have to think of, you know, all the stuff that goes on in an office environment as far as not only marketing but bookkeeping and paying the, you know, all the marketing bills, and, you know, you have all these other things, and especially when you're first starting out, you don't have somebody to help you unless you have a family member who's really super generous. So, you know, it's quite a challenge. It takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort, and if you don't have someone who is there to support you and somebody who understands it, then it can be very lonely.
It's so much support in so many different ways. It's not just financial.
Right.
You also have a network of people who are other authors. I mean, when I first started with Murder, Inc., I didn't have anything. I mean, other than a little bit of knowledge about the Internet, not much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't exist. There wasn't any way you're going to get on a regular air radio show. There was no way you're going to get any publicity. I actually bought space on local newspaper ads because I didn't know what else to do.
Right.
It's like a trial and learn. I mean, as the Internet became a little bit more friendly and Blog Talk appeared and I started getting interviewed for shows when they did Fantasy Time Inc. and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
that's when you started getting a publicity. But I didn't have anybody tell me what to do. I had
right.
no people. Whether you're a small publisher, which I did with Murder, Inc., or you self-publish like I did with Fantasy Timing, you're on your own. They publish, and
yes.
then you're off. You do your own thing. And the only people I don't even know the big publishers really do like they used to do. Unless you're, you know, a big star writer, like
yeah.
Dan Brown or somebody,
there's
right. nobody supporting you.
No, and I recently was reading an article about that, and they were saying that unless you're at the 2%, at the top of their pile, at the top 2%, you know, and you're talking Nora Roberts, Daniel Steele, Stephen King, these authors that the world knows whether or not they read them, that the big publishing houses, they really don't market for the majority of their authors anymore. And so that leaves, you know, smaller authors still having to know the marketing ropes and having to understand those. And it's a big beast to tame.
Right. And, I mean, there are people that you can hire publicity people to guide you.
Mm-hmm.
But money for that you have to go on your own. And basically it's hunting
yeah.
and pecking and trying to figure it out for yourself and praying to God that something will click and that you'll sell something.
Right, yep. And then you have, and that's why I think it's so important to have somebody that you can work with. I have a writing buddy. We write completely different genres, but we work so well together, and we've been taking this journey together since my first book published 4 years ago. We were writing buddies for probably, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years before that. And so we've really gone through each stage of this together. Without her, I don't know where I'd be, because you have a lot of other voices. There's a lot of outside voices, and some of them need to help you, and some of them not so much. I hate to say it, but there's, you know, even people who want to misguide you, you know, for their own, to get where they need to go, and so you're not in your in their way. So that's why I think it's so important to have somebody on your side that you can trust and that can help you through the joys of it and the tears of it and the moments you just want to take your computer and toss it out the window and say forget it, because they all come.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it's interesting because I work with PR people too, and they're wonderful and they're really great and they're very helpful to their client, and I have a lot of respect for the people that I've worked with, but you don't know who the ones that are good are.
Right.
Unless you're introduced to them by word of mouth or you meet them through another author. But I think what I'm getting to, it's very important not – you have a writing buddy, but I didn't have anybody. I started getting into writing groups because I needed help. You need to network whatever way you can network to meet other writers.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, because that's the only way you're going to find out what way to go. And also, don't be afraid to try stuff.
Right.
I mean, I started this show simply because it was so hard to get an interview when I first started. First started trying to get an interview on Blog Talk, I must have put out to 25 hosts, and I didn't hear back from anybody. And then I finally heard one person, and then after I heard from her, then I heard from two other people, and like that. But it was like, this is really hard, and it shouldn't be, because this Blog Talk had just started. I'm the easiest person to get on. Look, can I come on your show? Sure, let me see where I can squeeze you in. I mean, that's about it. I mean, I don't put people through the kind of scrutiny that some of the hosts that I've talked to put me through. Now, there are some great hosts. There's Paige Roberts. There's Jennifer, I forgot your name. She's under Lone Wolf, Lone Wolf Productions. Really good hosts that are out there, and I love them. But I'm talking about when I first started. You have to take a chance. You have to keep trying. It's like being an actor, which I also did. You just keep hitting the pace. Except the email. trying to get
right.
your... don't you agree?
I do. Yep. And it's so much of this is not giving up because, like I said, there's moments that, you know, whether it's you're revising your book for the fifth time and you're looking at it and it's just, this is never going to be good enough, and forget it, I can't write, because you're going to have those moments. Or it's, you know, you're in the middle of the marketing thing and it just doesn't seem to, like, come together the way you had it outlined. Those moments of giving up because you can't get it, those are tough. And there's a lot of doors open, but then there are doors closing every day, too, you know, just the shift in the business. Which is completely and totally shifting every single day, it seems. There are new rules every day. It's a challenge, but it's also very fun and it's very rewarding. But you got to have that network around you and that team of support to keep you going. It's just essential.
Yep. Yeah, and also. Go to different places. My first book, I went to a science fiction convention. I went to a Xena convention, and I couldn't afford anything. So I would go and say, could I put my book on your table? I'll pay for the space.
That's great.
And they usually say yes. I mean, you don't go to the big people because they won't do it because they spend a lot of money on those booths. But you go to small small publisher or other writers that are there, and those are the people you ask. You don't go to the big places. But that's what I did. That was before I ever spoke at a convention. I didn't even know I could do that. I just went and said, "Would you put this up for me?"
I love it. That's great. That's great. I haven't tried that yet. I'll have to keep that one in mind.
I mean, I said, I'll buy your book if you put my books up. You know, I mean, whatever it takes.
Right.
Also,
if your books up, I'll buy you a box of chocolate.
We can go to lunch.
I'm not above bribery.
We can go to lunch. But, that's what I did. And then the funny thing is when I was at the Xena convention and I had done that, I went to the table and I said, I have my books. Is it okay? Is there any way I could get space? I'll pay you. And they go, oh, no, don't pay. And we have a signing. Would you like to take part? And I went, sure. I mean, I signed.
Oh, that's great.
But, hey, it was my first signing.
There you go. There you go.
So, even if it takes every bit of guts you have to be bold.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Because it's still the entertainment business, and it'll eat you up if you don't.
And you won't do it, and you won't get anywhere if you don't. If you don't,
right.
You have to push yourself. When I went to Comic-Con to speak, I was scared out of my mind. I was petrified. And then when I walked in and it was sold out, I mean the whole room, they were standing in the back, and it was my panel. I created it. I was having such many heart attacks. You don't know. But then I just went, okay, it's an acting job. It's an acting job. It's an acting job. You're
right?
Not you.
Right? I had a similar, when I did my first book signing, it was the same thing. I don't think I slept the night before all the way there. I was like, I was a nervous wreck. And then you get there and you're in the middle of the situation and then all of a sudden the mindset just shifts. And you relax, and it just becomes part of the moment. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was about that way for me too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the more interesting things is how the human mind can get over your fear because if you have a goal set in your mind. I want to sell this many books by the end of the day or end of the event. Your mind will shift like almost a business side that you didn't even know you had there. I don't know if you feel that, but that's what I think. It just, because I didn't even know I had it, but it just went.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So anyway, what we're saying is if you're a writer and you have your first book, be bold, go for it, whatever it is, try.
That's
that right?
Right. That's right.
Speaking of books, we're at the halfway mark, so I want to give you plenty of time to chat about your new books that are coming out. The floor is yours.
Okay. This is a new series. This is the Dangerous Secrets series. It is romantic suspense. And Until Tomorrow is actually the first book in the series. It is the story of Colton Payne, who thought he had it all. He was going into money management. He had a goal of that he wanted to be financially better off than what he saw his parents suffer. So he had dreams and he had goals, and they were very definite in his head. And, you know, there was no, for him, there was never any veering off that course. So he lands this great account that he thinks is going to really prove what he can do in the industry and make him. And then the FBI shows up. And the account was dirty, and he didn't realize it. And he's forced into witness protection program and our witness security program, actually. And he's taken away from his life and from the woman he loves that he did not have a chance to tell. He didn't have a chance to tell her that he loved her, even though they grew up together. It just never occurred to him that time would run out. And it has. And now he's thrust into this new life, and he's struggling to find his grounding. He has a handler who's helping him, you know, try to get grounded in on this island away from everything. And he's making every attempt to do what he's supposed to do. He's crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's in this new life, but he just can't let go. And then he finds out that through a YouTube video, Savannah is a newscaster. He finds out that the man who wants him dead shows up at one of her reports at a festival and is standing right behind her, and he happens to see it. And the only choice for him is to go back. He goes through a lot of shifts and trying to figure out what this new life looks like, and then realizing he just can't let the old life go, even if that means that he's going to die trying to save the people that he cares about.
It sounds like good books. Are they available yet?
Well, the prequel to Until Tomorrow is available. It released a couple weeks ago, and is a short story. That one's available everywhere for 99 cents. Until Tomorrow actually releases next week. I'm in the final stages of proofing and revising and all that stuff right down at the wire here. But that will become available April 2nd.
Yeah, that's one thing about authors. We tend to wait, procrastinate when it comes to editing.
Yeah, revising
then that old deadline is there, and you're like, oh my God!
Right? And I'm going to be honest, this book has probably been my hardest that I've ever written. It is completely told from Colton's point of view, which is a new challenge, because all of my previous books were told in both the lead female and the lead male's point of view, you know, alternating in some sense, whether it be a chapter, you know, every other chapter, whatever. But this book was told completely out of Colton's point of view. And it's, you know, we've got the witness protection program and we've got the FBI and all these different departments of, you know, our legal system. So it's taken a lot of research, and it's been a very interesting book to write, a whole new challenge.
Yeah, I'm writing my first thriller. It's taking me forever to write this book. And the research, it's more research than murder mystery. I mean, oh, my God, there's so much, because there's so many things, different aspects of it that I've never even looked at before. It's actually really fascinating because it's opening my eyes to things that I didn't know. But it's
right.
Also tedious and long and hard.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's how Until Tomorrow has been. And then the other challenge with Until Tomorrow is that the first draft of Until Tomorrow was written 20-some years ago as a short story. I think it was maybe 4 or 5 pages long. And I will never show it to anybody other than maybe my husband. But it was all he and she. Nobody even had a name. But the general idea of the story was kind of there. right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you take a basic idea of a story that's 20-something years old and it's 4 pages long, and now you have to create an entire novel and expand on that and see who these people really are that you haven't visited with. And and it's, yeah.
Never done that. I mean, I have lots of stuff. I actually wrote a little play based on a family story. That's about as close as I've gotten to that. But it's, you know, it's based because I don't really know what they said. My mom wasn't born when the story took place. My grandmother was 15 years old. So, and it's all based on the story my grandma told me and my mom and my brother and my dad. So, it's based on everything she said, but I put my own dialogue in it. You know what I mean? Because it's a little play that. But I've never done that. I've never taken one of my old short stories. I don't know if I could do it. I mean, that's brave.
I'm not sure if it's brave or something completely else. A little crazy. But.
Oh, God. I'm thinking of my short story. I just like, whoa, I don't know.
The thing is I always loved the two characters. And out of anything that I wrote as a child or a teenager, it's the only thing that kept coming to mind to me over the years as being anything that resembled something decent. So I guess it was probably maybe a little bit natural for me to go back and pick it up, but writing it this time around has felt just like I had lost my mind. What am I doing with this book?
Doing this.
But
you finished. But that's rewarding.
It is. Well, it's almost finished. I'll be thrilled when I can close the laptop by the end of the day and say it's done. And that I hope I never have to pick this book up again or anything else with it.
So cute. We're coming to the end. Could you give your website or a place where the fans can go to get in touch with you?
Oh, sure. My website is www.rmalexanderauthor.com. And I am on Facebook under RM Alexander. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Pinterest. I'm on Instagram. So I'm kind of like all over the place.
That's the way to go.
There you go.
Thank you, Robin, for coming on the show again. I really appreciate it. I always enjoy chatting with you.
Had a blast. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by listeners like you. You can support this program by leaving a rating or a review at iTunes, at Sherry's Patreon account, patreon.com/readthebard, or by following Sherry on all the various social media at ReeTheBard. That's ReeTheBard. Once again, that's ReeTheBard. ReeTheBard. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.